So my friend Kelly sent me a text the other day that I think was really funny and you would probably relate to. It was about how we plan to conquer the summer together while both of our boys' preschools and Mother's Day out options, well, they're no longer options for the summertime. Listen, I am all about creating fun summertime memories, but the morning coffee date with friends, the opportunity to clean up the house while the boys were in school, and getting some work deadlines met are now a little bit more challenging. But I have found us all a solution. There is an incredible app called Wendy that connects families and college student nannies. They are background checked, interviewed, and the sweetest. Not only are you able to meet your childcare needs, but you could also help those college students that are looking for summer jobs. There's options for part-time help and full-time help. Whatever your childcare needs are, Wendy has a match for all of them this summer. All you have to do is go to wendy.com/realtalk to start a search for a nanny. And as a special offer, they are going to knock $50 off your search if you go through that link. Wendy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies, and there's no ongoing fees. So here's how it works. Go to wendy.com/realtalk to start your search. A Wendy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. Then you choose the one you like. Get started now, though, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summertime, just like you and I. Go to wyndy.com/realtalk right now to start your search. Welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Rachel Autry. I am so excited to have you. Of course, we talk about all the things real around here, the things that are hard, the things that are fun, the things that are easy, all of it, and nothing's left off the table. But this month is February, obviously. If you're listening to this in real time, welcome. If you're not, it's February when we're listening to this, when we're recording this, and we are in the middle of our friendship series, all about how to deepen the friendships you actually have, how to make friends if you feel like you're a little bit lonely, and how to enrich in just the life around you with relationships that are right in front of you. And we are so blessed by the conversations that we're having around here. So I'm praying that you are blessed by them as well, that you find hope here, that you find practicals, that you find good next steps with the experts and real life friends that I'm bringing on the show. And today's conversation is so incredible. It is with Justin Whitmall Early. You might know him or heard of him through other episodes that we have had around here. We are obsessed with all of his books, but specifically, I feel like I'm constantly recommending one of them called Habits of the Household, which is a whole nother tangent. And we might talk about that one day if he chooses to come back on again. But today we're talking all about relationship. He has so many incredible, mind-blowing things to think through when we are processing relationships and why they are hard to make, but also why they are so needed in our life, how they can not only like enrich in the life we have, but they're so necessary just as like a basic need and fundamental of the life that we live. So I am pumped. I think you guys are going to benefit from this conversation because I myself have I took away so many takeaways that I'm so excited for you to learn and lean into as well. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Justin. Justin, welcome to Real Talk. We are stoked to have you. I told you this already, but I need people to hear me say this. If you've seen me online talk about Habits of the Household, this is like the Habits of the Household. We're like the guy. It's like our number one recommended resource for friends and families and just figuring out how to do life well inside your home and with your kids. And so there's that. Okay. I just need to like make sure we fangirl for a moment to be like, this is cool.
I'm so honored. I was sitting in Richmond, Virginia, where I still live now, during the pandemic, writing like ideas and chapters before I started my law work in 2020. And I remember constantly thinking, what am I doing? Like, I don't know anything about parenting. I'm messing it up all the time, but I just felt so compelled to write about it. It's so encouraging now to hear people like you say that. I didn't know if this was going to matter at all. And it's been such an encouragement to hear people say like, this has helped. So thank you.
Yeah. I think it's so funny because all my author friends that write about something specific, they're like, Lord, really? Out of all the topics, this is it?
Yeah.
Because everyone feels so, I don't know, like ill-equipped, or they're like, I'm not the expert. But it's so cool to hear from people that are figuring it out too and are obedient, stepping forward, even when they're like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm your guy.
Honestly, I think it's the spiritual warfare of self-doubt. Whenever you're doing something important, the voice I always hear is like, you're not the one to do this. Like, you can't do this. It's hard, which I'm getting better at saying, oh, that is the sign of something important that I should keep doing. But it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The moments that I feel really confident, I'm like, oh no, oh no, this can't be it. That's more dangerous for me. Yeah. Well, I'm stoked because this conversation is so much more than family. So if someone heard me say that, don't tune out, because this, I think that household, is totally one thing, but something we appreciate behind the scenes here at Real Talk and what you have to offer is this bigger idea of relationship and intentionality and specifically gospel-driven relationship. And we're sitting here in this friendship series, and that is such a needed conversation because there's so many myths out there, so many issues, and you have this new project that we've loved listening to, Made for People, that is that, like, we're made for people and relationship. And you've said something, and we'll get into it, but I just want to like preface. You said something that was so cool that really sparked us being like, the dream. What if we got Justin on the show? Which was, isolation is really killing us. And now more than ever before, we felt this inauthentic, fake, pseudo, like, I'm connected to you because of the internet.
Right.
But really, you're lacking so much of the connection. So we're going to hop into that. But first, give us good context. Like, who's Justin? What do you have going on behind the scenes for someone that maybe hasn't read How It's of the Household or is meeting you for the first time?
For sure. My wife is Lauren. She's the best. She's my favorite. We have four boys, Whit, Asher, Colt, and Shepherd. They're between 5 and 11 at the time of this recording. I am a business lawyer sitting here in my office talking to you, even though I'm really loving your white chairs and brick walls. So I wish I was sitting there in Birmingham talking.
Do anything.
Calling in remotely from Richmond. So I practice law, help start companies with M&A, as we call it, buy and sell companies and all the contracts in between. But in my free time is no longer the best way to put it. Another passion is writing and speaking about my writings. And so my three books so far, The Common Rule, Habits of the Household, and Made for People. And I like to think of them, Rachel, as a little trilogy on habits as spiritual formation. So The Common Rules can be thought of as sort of your personal disciplines about work, technology, rest, and more. But then The Habits of the Household is sort of looking at that concentric circle of how to live into habits as spiritual disciplines in the family. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think you can boil friendship down to habits alone. It's art and habit. But that third concentric circle is how do you live into what I increasingly think of as the spiritual discipline of friendship. Which is one way of saying that friendship is way more important to your body than you ever thought and way more important to your soul than you ever thought. So it can't be an afterthought. It's not a luxury of life, even though it's wonderful. It's an absolute necessity.
Yeah.
So that's what the book is about. Realize that you're actually made for people such that you can't live the life you're meant to live until you live it into friendship.
So good. And one of the quotes that I think honestly boils down all your books is this idea. You said this in Habits of the Household, but it goes beyond that. You can't think your way out of something you didn't think your way into. And so much of the life God calls us to is to do hard stuff, to go countercultural, to paradigm shift, to all the things that just feel so unnatural. God's like, well, yes, exactly. Like, you're not supposed to be of your flesh. Yeah. So it's not going to feel normal or natural.
Right.
And so you have given really cool tools to equip people to start thinking their way into something that really is important to them, like friendship. So this is what's cool about that.
I'm glad you brought that idea up, because especially I think with friendship, yeah, it's common sense. I mean, nobody's sitting out there being like, yeah, I'm not really into friends. Like, I don't want to take totally common sense, but what is not is common practice. And it's so typical for us to sit here thinking, I really should lean more into relationships in this phase, but I'm just too busy, or something's too hard, or it's just not right. And a made for people could be summed up as saying, we need to make common sense common practice. Here are some habits, arts and habits of living that help you swim upstream. Because if you're living in the American cultural current, you're being whisked away rapidly. Like, it's not a lake where you can just float somewhere. It's a raging current of a river. And you're being whipped towards loneliness unless you fight and swim upstream. And so this is all about trying to make common sense common practice.
Which is so cool, because it normalizes the fact that it's not easy. And I think that that almost gives people the excuse to tap out. Like, so many people are like, I don't know, it's just too hard. Like, I don't like them. Mm. Or we don't get along. Or we see differently. Or we vote differently. Or our lives look different on paper. I'm like, so? And what's your point? You know, and so I think it's so many times we look at it and being like, this seems too hard to swim upstream. There's got to be something easier. I'll float and see where the current takes me, only to look up 5 minutes later and realize we are nowhere where we wanted to be. And then again, getting stuck in this weird spiral of being like, well, I'm not where I wanted to be. And then they're into shame and withdrawal and like whatever that is for the people listening. But it just is so funny, because the anecdote to what our problem is just to swim upstream. And I wish it was easier. I do, selfishly. I wish it was easier. So
yes. And I think particularly appropriate for probably this phase of life. I think there's a reason why right after Habits of the Household, I wanted to start writing about friendship. Because it's in there a little bit. And I write in the chapter on conversations, the importance of teaching your children how to talk to other people, how to start to disclose their inner life. And I also wrote about one of my favorite things, which is letting my children see my friendships, right? Like, observe it. But I wanted to really write on it in depth, I think, particularly because I sense that young parents are at the stage of life where what they need the most, other people, friends, is the hardest thing to do. So it's the hardest thing to make time for.
Yeah. Tell me more about that. Cause I think that that's like a large chunk of our people listening today.
Yeah. I mean, so one direction this conversation could go is that the current of American life is to become busier, wealthier people who used to have friends, and that's for bad reasons, for individualistic reasons, for, you know, all the things that are like ways of life we shouldn't be living. But there's also a reality to a young parent's phase of life that you're becoming a busier person for a good reason. Like, no, I would never look at you and be like, well, why'd you have all these children? Because now you can't have friends.
That's not productive.
It's like, no.
Right.
Yeah. It's wonderful. But it's just really hard. Right. And so this is a non-judgmental statement. We should all kind of actually have solidarity in saying, oh, we looked up in our late 20s or young 30s and realized this is getting quite difficult. In college, I was sort of, or high school, you know, maybe both, you're shepherded into friendship, hopefully, in some unique countercultural currents of maybe it's college ministries or high school sports teams or something. And those are wonderful. And then as you start to have children, you realize nobody's doing that for you anymore. And your time is so compromised. I mean, you're just constantly trying to keep these little things alive. So, so it's totally fair to be like, oh my gosh, I feel like I don't have time for friends. My hope is not to make anybody feel judged for finding themselves there. It's actually where the overwhelming majority of Americans find themselves. If it's comforting at all, it may or may not be, it's totally normal, particularly normal for as young mothers and fathers to feel like, oh gosh, we've lost this thing called our friends that used to be true in our life. But what I want to say is that what you need, what your spouse needs, and what your kids need, almost more than anything else, is for you to be a person in relationship. Because yes, everything about your physical health, everything about your mental health, everything about what you can bring to your family is dependent on you living in healthy relationships with other people. And so that's just the tension. You need it the most at this time.
Right.
But it's the hardest to have it at this time, which is why it's a good conversation to say, okay, how do we fight for it? We get that it's going to be a fight. We get this going to be hard. How right. do we do that?
Right. And that's it, is like, so many people are talking about how hard it is or the need for it. And then I feel like there's just a lack of tools and like a yeah. lack of the practicals, which is so silly, right? Like, here's a rule book for friendship, but sometimes that can be really helpful when you just are like, yeah. this isn't what I'm thinking about as I'm falling asleep at night. Like, how do I make right. friends? You know, it's something that sometimes I've been in the space, especially postpartum, where it took me drowning to notice, like, I need to ask for a life raft. It wasn't right. until I couldn't wade the water anymore because I was, you know, underneath swimming for so long that I could have asked for a life raft, but I didn't think about it till I really felt the urgency. And so my hope, especially with the series, this conversation, is maybe people realize like, oh, I've jumped off the boat. Like, I need a life raft before you right. start feeling the panic. And so I also want to speak to the flip side of what we just talked about friendship after parenthood or whatever. Because I also think I see in direct messages and emails about friends being like, I'm so glad you're doing the friendship series because like all my friends have had babies and they've disappeared. And I want to speak mm-hmm. to the friend who maybe isn't in the parenthood phase yet and maybe has lost friends to children. Yeah. That's a weird way to put it. That this is your permission and almost like your assignment to go pursue. Like to show up because chances are it was not their choice to no longer hang out with you. It just was that getting Mexican food all of a sudden became so intimidating. Whereas before I was like, of course I'll go get guac and chips. Like that's not easy anymore. And so this is your friendship assignment in this moment. Like go pursue them. Like ask them, I want to be a part of your life. What does it take to show up for you still?
Oh my gosh.
Just don't take it personally.
Yeah. I think my friend Drew here in Richmond is one of my best examples of this. All of us had gotten married. He was still single and mm-hmm. he felt, you know, like excluded from that life, mm-hmm. which by the way, you know, speaking to everybody, the parents and the people who are not yet, or for some reason won't be parents, that's totally natural that we hang out with people that are in the similar life stages. I mean, that's how we base almost all of our friendships. So there's nothing wrong with that. So I think to the person on the other side of parenting being like, well, why do they just do parenting stuff now? Well, because our life is dominated by children. It's actually very helpful to us. But on the other side, we also need to learn how to invite those people in, even though it's hard. And what I love about what my friend Drew did is he is actually just super intentionally asked, even demanded. He was like, can I start coming over once a week for dinners?
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, I don't think you want to do that. Like there's our family dinners. There's like food flying around. It's like, we're not like having a cheese board and like, you know, making an artisanal meal like we used to. But he was like, no, so I almost ignored the request actually for a couple months. I was like, yeah, sure, if you want, but I didn't actually invite him. And then he was like, couple months later, he's like, no, I'm actually serious about this. I don't have a family, you know, like I like the way that you do. And I want to feel like I can be an uncle to somebody locally. Oh, yes. And I want to be a part of your family rhythm. And I was like, oh my gosh, this was many years ago. And we started this rhythm of just having like Uncle Drew over every Thursday night. And I mean, two things happened. One, he did get to experience the blessing of chaotic children, because it's a own unique form of teaching people like the joys and difficulties of life and raising young image bearers of God. And he got to participate in some of that. And also we got the benefit of realizing that, oh my gosh, friendship can happen in this phase of life across the phase, like with somebody who's not just, again, surprise, surprise, like me talking about this by habit, like by the rhythm of saying, we're going to do this week after week. And you know, be unselfconscious enough to just let him into the mess. It's not like we're cleaning up for him to come over on Thursday evening. He's just coming. And it really gave us a way to remember that you're not locked up in the world of children alone. You can still have a dinner conversation, even while the children are running around. And sometimes, you know, just a lot of magic happened there. And he was a great reminder to me of, if you're on the other side of parenting, you know, you don't have to be bitter about it. You can just generously invite yourself in. And some people will say no, some people won't be able to do it, but you can keep pushing, like be like my friend Drew, he did. And for the parents, you need it. You really need it.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. I have so many Drews that I can think of that were coming to my head that I was like, oh, I'm so grateful. They're lucky if I light a candle. I'm like, I'm sorry. It is just a hot mess express over here. I joke. I'm like, yeah. I run a tight shipwreck. Like, it's just what it is. And it's so funny because those are the friends that can see through it because they have such a fresh vision, fresh perspective, also not cluttered by their own kid chaos.
Right.
Slash, it's so cool because I think we all want the friendships that feel so rich and intimate, but we don't want to do the work or open up to the space that it takes to get there. And
that's right.
The people I feel so much more closely to are the people that did see the load of laundry sitting on my bed. And while I was doing bath time, they went in and started folding it. And I'm like, that's my husband's underwear. And they're like, I don't care. Like, my husband also wears underwear, you know, like it's okay. Right. And it just became such a cool practice of like, welcome. Like, I don't know what you were expecting, but this is it. And it just felt so cool for them to see the inner workings of our life, our rhythm. So it also gives good context when I want to talk to them about something hard. They get it more than if we had only ever sat at coffee together.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, it strikes me that this is really important because it hits on two, I think, fundamental practices of friendship. Mm-hmm. So I define in Made for People covenant friendship, which I see as a sort of gospel-centric sort of friendship. It's a fancy term, but simple idea. It's saying if Jesus is our a friend of sinners and we're supposed to be more like Jesus, like we should live into that kind of friendship. And so it's to take it out of the Facebook realm of like a click to make a friendship and take it into this idea of a holy idea of covenant friendship. And so I talk about the two aspects of that being vulnerability and commitment. Mm-hmm. And both of them, I think, are present in what you just shared. And that's why these things are so important. Vulnerability is disclosing yourself and your secrets and your inner life and your shame, but it's also just letting somebody see your laundry room or your kitchen when you didn't prepare for anybody to come, or like what you actually talk to your kids like at 8:30 p.m. on a Thursday evening when you're tired and bedtime's not going well. That is its own, honestly, very real form of vulnerability. So you're literally letting friends into your life. You're found out. Because you know, I say the Latin root of vulnerability is to be capable of being wounded, right? And when you let a friend into your house, on a normal evening, it's like, yeah, they could take the pictures that could wound you, right? Like this is what their house actually looks like, not with the Instagram.
Sure.
But so that sort of like full disclosure is there. And then the second point of what I call covenant friendship is commitment. And that's not like, you know, till death do us part marriage commitment. But what I try to define it as is more towards a rhythm, more towards a habit of being together rather than this happens once in a while. Like to commit to a rhythm, like we're going to have coffee once a month, or we're going to go out for chips and guacamoles or margarita once a month. Or even I have friends with them. I'm like, our rhythm is once a quarter. We're going to try to do like an evening at our house. And guess what? Incredible things happen. Meeting once every 3 months with people. But that rhythm of inviting people vulnerably into your life, whether through in your house or just conversation, you know, at a coffee shop, that those are the kind of practices that till the soil of friendship, because everybody knows you can't force friendship. It's not like you can just say now today
I
with
wish,
that person,
right? Yeah,
you can't. Right. But that's, again, it's a common sense. I mean, most people know this, But what you can do, and I think what most of us ignore, is we can dig the kind of grooves in our life mm-hmm. that friendship tends to run in. It's like, yeah, you can't create a lake, but you can dig the grooves that over time rain will fill up the lake. You actually can, but you have to dig the ruts. You have to make the habits. And making little habits of saying, we're the kind of family that has people over once every other week or so. Or I'm the kind of mom who's like, look, every other Tuesday, I'm going to do this book club with the girls or the other moms or something. And, you know, husbands too, but also to make time for that, like to say, okay, as a husband, I'm going to support you in that. And by the way, can you support me in my Friday night, guys night or whatever, like digging those rhythms into our lives are actually one of the simplest and most powerful antidotes to the cultural current that we've been talking about. And so it's actually not as hard as we think, but it takes that idea of saying, I'm going to work on a rhythm of committed vulnerability.
The commitment is so cool because after my friends saw the mom I was at 8:30 when the bedtime's not going well, like we were just talking about, mm-hmm. and then they show up again, there's like a relief right? that happens where I'm like, oh, so I didn't scare you. That's good. Yes. But I guess we could we've entered this new level of like, now you just know the wrath of Rachel that happens when XYZ happens. And they're like, that didn't scare me. Like, I'm cool. Like, whatever, you know? Or let's talk about that. Why do you get so worked up? And I'm like, I don't know. That is the friendship that I think we're all craving, is just showing up again, even after.
There's something so deep to what you're saying, because the reason I mentioned the covenant friendship idea is I think one of the simplest and truest ways to sum up the gospel is that Jesus knows you fully and loves you anyway.
Yes.
He sees everything about you, the stuff you're proud of and the things you're not, and loves it all, loves you through it all, which is the fundamental human need, right? It's what we're afraid of, that if we're actually fully known, we won't be fully loved.
Fully loved.
And what you're talking about is the kind of relationships that teach you that that actually can be true, that they can see you on that rough evening and still come back anyway. And as I often say with my friends, I feel a much deeper experience of the gospel through their friendship, because week after week, I re-experience what's so hard for me to believe. And that is that somebody can actually see all of me and still love all of me. And that is what we spend our life looking for. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, friendship can teach it to us in a remarkably unique way.
So cool. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I'm not sure what just bloomed in the air, but my allergies have been so out of control. I so badly want to live the life where I can keep my doors open with this perfect spring weather, and I'm able to roll around in the grass outside with my littles and live a life without the gross congestion. But when my allergies are at their worst, I start having to compromise on life. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I love that Claritin has an option for non-drowsy relief of allergy symptoms. With Claritin D, you can still make the most of your day without compromise. This means that I can have my windows down car dance sessions with my boys and help with yard work without the symptoms of my allergies popping up out of nowhere. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. That too is, yes, the tangible Jesus. That again is so hard to believe, but we know it's true, or, you know, we know with our minds, but it's like the first way to start feeling with our heart is when we see that happen in interactions and relationships. I want to speak to the person who's listening to this and is like, that's magic. Like, that's fairy tale central. Like, I would love it. That's just not where I'm at. And maybe they are the people that float down the current and they're listening or click play because they're like, I have noticed. Like, I don't have those friendships and that I know I'm capable and I know I desire that. So where do I start? And I kind of want to like spitfire some quick things that maybe they can do today to get them to a place that starts feeling a little bit more where they would want to be.
Yeah. I've got tons of little ideas on where to start. So you can kind of push me in different directions if you want. Okay. But one of the things I'd recommend just on the first two points we've already talked about is to start with little bits of vulnerability or little bits of commitment. And so most of the vulnerability, probably everybody listening has a person in mind that they're thinking, I could be open with this person, or I have been open with that person. And unfortunately, the pain might be that you only have one person in mind and it's a maybe. Like, I don't know how this is going to go. Some of us might have a lot, but we're like, I haven't done it in a long time. So I understand this is hard and risky, but I think one of the things that the beauty of true friendship, I think, is the courage to actually disclose your whole life to them. And this is very scary. It is risky. It is vulnerability because you're capable of being wounded, right? Most of us need to start in small doses. And so sharing, like, you could text somebody right now and say, I heard this podcast and it made me think of you. I'd love to get coffee and catch up again. I got some stuff I'd love to talk to you about. Just like that small spark right there could be the beginning of the next half of your life where you actually, like, I'm not kidding. I have seen lives pivot over small moments of saying, I need to talk to so-and-so about something. And if you, I would acknowledge, you know, some of the, when we're really vulnerable, some of the things could be like serious capital T or little T trauma, like things that you need to be careful about sharing that are hard to share. And maybe you know somebody who you can go there with, but if you don't, you could also just start with like little bits to see how this person handles it. Like to see, did they share back? Did they care for you in that secret? And you can, you know, you got to iterate, like you got to try this out. Not everybody can handle it. Right. But one small step of just saying, all right, I'm going to share something with somebody. That's a great way to start. And frankly, a necessary way to start because we've got to figure out how to get people into our lives. Another really small way to start is just looking for the rhythm. So for some of us, it will be, I go to church, but I don't go to the small group. Again, pivot points in life are made when you're like, I'm going to start going to the small group. Or some of us are going to the small group, but we're not really hanging out with people there. Like it's the sort of surface level talk because maybe it's too big or maybe you're too new. And saying, I'm going to invite so-and-so. Like those magic words of being like, I've really appreciated like getting to know you. Would you like to have lunch, you know, maybe once a month? But I've had so many conversations in my life, Rachel, where there are these awkward moments of being like, I like you. Should we hang out? Like you know, like it's like, it's like we're trying to date again. Right. But Rachel, like my life is totally different because of the courage of some people who have occasionally been me, but usually other people who have been brave enough to say, I really enjoy getting to know you. Could we do this more often? Like if you can bring yourself to be courageous enough to be righteously awkward, as I would call it, you have no idea how many people out there are waiting to be asked and whose lives are ready to change because you were willing to initiate some small thing. So I just,
so good.
If you can be a person, you have no idea how much of a gift it is to other people.
We had this conversation or something similar in another one of the friendship series episodes. And it was so cool because I said, I think the fear about that is being like, I don't have the capacity for another friend right now. Like maybe you are blessed with a lot of friendships and someone's coming to you because they desire one or whatever. Like for the person that you're like, I don't know, like because I will say that there are friendships that maybe aren't compatible. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There are those friendships. You're like, you're not my person and that's okay. But I will, but totally. Those conversations and going forward and stepping out first and saying something is so important, because even if that person's not your person, longevity, mm-hmm. you know, people that probably are their mm-hmm. people, or they know people mm-hmm. that are your person, and it takes yeah. delegation, and it takes like a whole web of people to figure out, how do I fit? And so just because you step into a room and you're like, this isn't my room, doesn't mean it's not your building. Like, you have to like,
that's a
go
great way
and
to put it. Yeah.
Knock on other doors. Yeah. Just to see where you fit. So for someone that hears this and is like, that's not dry. Like, I tried that. And that what, you know, try again.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's just such a good point. It often doesn't work, right? We know that. Like, we learned that in high school. Like, oh, I'm yes. fumbling at relationships. They don't always
work. Middle school shows you.
Right.
Just
let's be super clear. Yeah. It's hard, right? But if you're that person who gets asked and you don't have capacity, or you know it's not going to work, I've just found there's such a richness to honesty and compassion. Honesty of being like, you know what? I am in a phase of life where if I tried to add new obligations, I would disappoint you and everybody else. So I can't do that. But compassion might be, but I can do one lunch. Like, and actually we should do one. Or saying, but I do have, you should come to my, mm-hmm. you know, gym. Mm-hmm. You should come to my book club. You should come, because they're like, it's a
or
great
I
group.
I got to introduce you to someone.
Or yeah, or you should know. That's exactly right. So like, yeah. I think being honest and compassionate. But on the other side of the conversation, if you're the one who feels like you're asking, and like, you're like, well, I'm not doing this again because I got rejected. Like, I hear the pain. I mean, you know, I remember high school, and you ask somebody out and you get rejected. It takes a long time to get the courage to do it again. Yes. But I just want to say, on the encouragement side, every time you do that, you're becoming more like the kind of person that you ought to be, mm-hmm. which is somebody who says true things and speaks up about things that they actually want and need. So you're becoming the kind of person who's more willing to initiate. And so I just say, like, that all of the good life is on the other side of those difficult conversations. So keep having them. Like, don't get discouraged. Keep having them.
Keep practicing. That's right. So good. You will eventually run into somebody who is like, your unicorn. I have met so many yeah. of those good friends through mm-hmm. invitations, through
yeah. Yeah.
unlikely groups that I joined, or right. gyms that right. I went to. And it's just been so cool to see the fruit of taking a chance. Yes. So I just wanted to speak to that. That's so good. Let's
it's
talk
worth
almost-
saying, by the way, just you should pray about it.
Yes. Yes.
I think, one, like, the Lord hears you, and, you know, he'll meet us in our loneliness, but he doesn't want to leave us in our loneliness. So, because the whole story of the Bible is, you know, trying to move us out of our sin and isolation into righteousness and community. So that's like, God wants that for you. And I think as you pray about it, keep it at the forefront of your prayers. One, because he answers prayers, but two, because those prayers shape you into the type of person who's maybe honestly less picky about who your friends are, and maybe Amen. More understanding yeah. that it is a deep felt need, and that you could be that friend too. I think sometimes it's like we're looking for other people to give it to us, and we need to actually be the kind of person who starts giving it to others instead. So prayer is a mighty habit here.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. I'm glad you said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the discernment is there. The community is there. Mm-hmm. All that is something we have access to, I think, that we just, yes, to be in a space with the Lord, to be like, this is what I want. He's yeah. like, oh, I want that for you too. Of course. Like, I will not withhold it. It's cool. That's a cool space to be.
No, sort of interrupted. You were about to say something. What were you
yes.
doing here?
Yes, I do want to go to a space just for a second, not to scare people, but be like, what's the cost? Because I think it's so interesting to hear all these things, all the benefit, mm-hmm. be like, you know, to hype it all up. And for mm-hmm. someone to leave with the hype, but not understand the cost of, like, and if you choose to not do what we're asking you to do, it's not like you're going to stay the same. There's no movement. You're either moving in the direction you want to be moving or in the direction you don't want to be moving. There's no such thing as being okay with what you've got. I think I'm good, but thanks. It's there's going to be movement whether you choose for there to be movement or not. You just get to choose which direction you go. And so I want to almost speak to like, what's the cost if someone says, this is cute, but not for me?
That's so good. You know, so I first thought that you were asking what's the cost of friendship, because
like risk. Sure.
Yeah. Because as it turns out, to be friends with sinners is your only option. So the two ingredients to friendships are a sinner and a sinner. And you can bet there is a cost of friction. And that's learning to forgive. That's learning to be gracious. That's learning that you want people to treat you with all like the gentleness and graciousness, that you expect them to give you, and you need to treat other people like that. I mean, I find so often we offend other people and we're like, but they'll forgive me. Like, that's unintentional. And then other people offend us and they're like, and we're like, you know, they meant that. Like, that was
what did they say? Like, you're the judge for someone else, but the attorney on your own behalf always.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
You get it. You're in law.
We are so nuanced and understandable, and you know, other people are so black and white and can't believe they did that. So the whole conversation there, but you're asking like, what's the cost of not doing that? And it's opting out. It's a sobering reality. I mean, one, I'm not sure which is more motivating to people, the physical or the spiritual. For me, both are scary, but like the we're learning, that loneliness, which is not isolation, by the way. So I have like the Surgeon General's report from 2023 on my wall hanging here, right here. And it goes through the statistics of public health problems that happen from loneliness, which is the difference between your perceived experience of relationship of what you need and what you're actually getting. So this is like you're lonely in a crowd, lonely in the small group, like lonely in your family. This is not social isolation, which is a different, equally harmful condition of being like a recluse in an apartment. So just not having the relationships that you feel like you're made for, and then you start to settle and be like, you know, I'm out, I'm not going to do this, has incredibly harmful mental and physical effects. People die younger. Like it's the stats are now looking like they're similar to smokers, actually, like smoking 15 cigarettes a day is as dangerous as chronic loneliness, which is, you know, over time, right? It's not like one season in your life or like those first couple years after motherhood.
You become a parent and you're like chronically lonely.
But over time, those things add up. And I just, but this is where I start to transition, I think, out of the physical to the mental health. Like Rachel, like life is too heavy to do alone. And I know, because my first book came out of a serious mental health breakdown with anxiety and panic and insomnia. And I have a serious question of like whether I would have literally survived that without friends. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a question of whether I would have emotionally survived it. But it was people in my life who made sure I didn't stay in the mental breakdown that I found myself in. And this was a time in my life, is my early 30s, where I legitimately was like, I don't see a way out of this. And I think a lot of people sit in the stress phase of life they're in, the crush of parenting, the shame and guilt they either feel in their, you know, their marriage or their family or whatever it is. And they have lost the capacity to imagine their way out, which, by the way, again, whether trauma capital T or trauma small T, like one of the neurological effects of suffering that we call trauma is a diminished imagination. As in, you can't imagine anymore getting out of the situation you're in. So like you're reliving the past because you're stuck in the past and there is no future. And friends are precisely the hands that reach in to break that loop and just pull us out and say, no, 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 you're not stuck here. Like you are not. And by the way, this is the grace of Jesus, again, embodied. Like the way we were talking about earlier, that the gospel. Friendship embodies the gospel. Friends do that to us because if grace means anything, it means you don't have to be the way you are tomorrow. Like tomorrow is actually can change. It can be different because Jesus lived, died, and rose again for you. And friends do that. They come into our struggles and they're like, you're not stuck here. And in fact, we can't leave you here. We're going to work on this together.
Yeah. Yeah.
The idea that that your family is okay with you being friendless, or your husband or your wife is okay with you living with no best friend except them. Like I always say, I'm thrilled if your spouse is your best friend. Just make sure they're not your only best friend. Because you need other people to be a good husband, to be a good wife, because your mind isn't strong enough. Your mind was not built to live alone. And, you know, you can call it mental health, or you can call it the midlife crisis or something else, but you won't work right without people. And there's such a high cost to you and your family. So dive into friendship, even if just for their sake.
That's so good. You, and we both mentioned this idea of like a current and upstream and this big visual illustration. You talked about this in you wrote about it in Made for People, your latest book, about how your son was in the ocean, loved to swim, and got carried away by a current. And if you hadn't looked up, every few minutes, you'd just be further and further. And
that's about how good of a parent I am.
Yeah, no, listen, it happens to the best of
us. We've all lost our children down the beach. Totally normal.
Yeah. But I just want people to hear us say again and again and again, you are never too far gone, that we always have the option to ask for the help, that we have a savior who did it all, that he can be the parent to come and pick us up out of our helpless situation and bring us back to safety, because he's bigger and he's done it. And he wants that rescue for us. He's just wanting us to see the need for the rescue. And so if you find yourself in that space, I want to say that is one of the best places to be, not one of the worst. I think the worst is to think you're cool and to think you're good or you're exempt. That is the worst place to be. So I just think this conversation really could be the turning point for so many people. And that just brings me so much joy to know that in a space where the enemy wants to convince you you're stuck or you're lonely, you're too far gone. You don't have any friends, you won't have any friends. And here's why you don't have any friends. But all of that is so far from truth. And this conversation is the best. And even I love the one practical you said for someone who feels like they're that person, to start just by texting me, I was listening to a podcast episode and it reminded me of you.
Yeah.
And I'd love to catch up. Brilliant. So easy. Gosh. Or even what if we admitted, hey, I'm scared to tell someone something, but I gotta get it off my chest. To just admit the thing that everyone's probably thinking seems so advanced, but is also so simple. I just don't want us to get in our own heads and be the reason why we don't. So this has been so good.
So good. I love what you just said, because that idea that if you're the one that you feel you're far off down the current and you know you're in need of rescue, that's actually a good place to be, because Jesus is the kind of person who rescues. He's the kind of God who rescues.
Yes.
If you think of, I don't have a problem, you're in real danger. But it's so encouraging. I even found myself sort of praying while you were talking that somebody out there would be listening and say, this is the pivot point. This is my pivot point. And they would look back and I'm going to recommend it again. If you're feeling that, text this episode to somebody and say, I want to talk about this. There's something that I feel like I should talk about here with you.
Yes.
That would be so cool. I would love for people to look back and think this was a moment.
I would be honored if this was the conversation. Be like, yes, Lord, use it. Let's go. Well,
he's the kind of parent who runs down the beach and pulls us children out of the current of loneliness. So if he uses this podcast to do it, praise God.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for technology when it works. Amen.
There are redeeming impacts.
Thank you. Oh, well, definitely just wanted to take a moment to honor you for that, because a lot of that is just from the experience and the ways that you've been brave enough and bold enough to lean in and to try it out first to then tell us, guys, it works. You know, it takes diligence on all ends. So thank you. And then for opening up, it means so much. One of my last questions, like, not spiritual in the slightest, unless you want to make it spiritual. What is something you are loving that you have to share with people listening? Like playlist, recipe, a thing, product, Amazon, like really, truly anything. What is Justin loving?
That's so easy, because I was just talking to the guys this morning. There's a thing called the Aura Box. have you heard of it?
Yes, we just purchased one.
You got one?
We got one. Okay,
well,
I can't wait.
I'm so glad. I don't know if you've talked about it on the podcast before, but
not yet. Go for it.
So I know Joey and Heath, the founders of this company, and they, like me, felt this like incredible need to be to have help putting down their phone, because it takes them out of presence with their family and friends, right? So it's super pertinent to the parenting conversation, the friendship conversation. It's this beautiful little box that sits in your foyer or your kitchen counter, wherever your living room, and you put your phone in it, it charges your phone. It also syncs with this app that records your time off. And I've used it for over 2 years now. They're still like a young and growing company. So you might like, people are really just starting to hear about them, but if you go to their website, it's just a great idea. And it has been like one of the best additions to my home. And like, you invite friends over and like, hey, yeah, come on in. Like, you put your shoes here, put your phone here, you know. It's just like, oh, we're going to be present here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like a technology to save us from the technology. And it's such a good one. So they did a really good job with it. I love the box. I talk about it increasingly a lot now. And I happened to just be on the phone with them this morning. Nice. So if you haven't heard of it, go check it out. Aura Box.
Well, let's talk about how I called it Aero. Whoops. Well, it's a good thing. Yeah. It's Aura.
They get that. They make fun of me sometimes. I'm like, I love the Aero Box. They're like, Justin, it's Aura. Come on, you know this guy. So goaura.com. Go check them out.
Love it. Two things. Hannah Brincher has a freebie that I was using before the Aura Box, but it's like 1,000 hours unplugged, and you get to like color in a bubble for every hour you're unplugged. So it's a good free option for someone who's not ready for the investment.
Totally.
But then also, Ruth Cho Simons, great mom, like thinks she's just the coolest. She's got 6 boys and she has the Tower of Power. So like every time they do dinner, they stack their phones in a tower. And so I've started doing that with my girlfriends at like coffee dates or whatever, like Tower of Power, ladies, stack them up. And it's been so cool.
She's the best. Ruth, have you met her before?
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't she as fun in person as you think she would be?
She's like copy paste online in real life.
Yeah. That's what I was so like, we were at a conference together one time and I was just like, everything about you makes me so happy. And we got stuck in a snowstorm where like we missed our flights, and I had to drive with her and her husband like through the night. We like found a hotel somewhere. So I like got stuck in a 24-hour snow loop with them. And it was like one of my best
if
days.
I had to
like,
choose who to so be fun. Stuck with, it would be Ruth.
Right?
We love you, Ruth. Yeah. Yes. She's a queen. We love her. Well, seriously, this has been so life-giving for me. It is so fun to sit with someone who cares just as much about relationship and being impacted by friendship, and just to hear wisdom and again, the importance and even the practicals. Guys, so easy. No one has an excuse after listening to this. You just don't. We love you.
I hope we removed all excuses graciously.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The kick in the rear and the hug is what we say. So go for it. Let us know. We love chat back. So if you have a moment or a selfie or a praise report, like we want to know, and we will make sure to pass that along to you too, Justin, just so you know. But y'all, thank you so much. And thank you, Justin.
You're so welcome, Rachel. Love talking to you. Thank you so much.